Well, I've got my hat on because my Brill Cream is not holding up real good today. I've had two trips back and forth on the bike to try to, I forgot some stuff and yeah, whatever. And I'm only running 10 minutes late, it's just like high school, but I did do my homework, unlike high school. Psalms, you got a Bible? If you don't, we'll get you one. Okay. And I want to tell you that when you get a chance, if you don't mind, look at the post that I put this morning. That'll kind of get you lined up for this morning, because it's been a morning. It was a tough night, to be honest with you, studying this. It's a big book. You just have to find me. But we'll start with chapter 144. Yeah. This is a song, okay? And the good news is I'm not going to sing it for you. Okay, that's not the good news, but that is some good news, okay? And I mean, because I don't know the tune. Psalms 144. It says, a song to the Lord who preserves and prospers his people. Oh, I know. That's just, that's extra. That doesn't cost, it's just not in your Bible. We'll start with number one. I got a Jeffersonian Bible. I've got some things written in. Okay. So, what it is, what this Bible does, it's an old New King James, and what it does, it paraphrases each chapter and puts a little thing out there, and I like to read that out loud because that kind of gives a synopsis of where we're going. And here's the deal. When I looked at that word preserve, everybody goes, oh no, here he goes, okay. But you know, when you see somebody and you look at them, you go, oh, they're pretty well preserved. And when you see them in the casket and they don't look nothing like them, you know. I was at a get-together one time, and they're saying, man, you're looking good for your age. And I said, okay. I mean, I'm only 26. With 40 years experience. Yeah, I got a little experience at 26. If you can do that math, that's good for you. Good for you. You didn't go to Camden High. So, who preserves and prospers his people. And God, through his word, describes what we're supposed to be on this earth. Okay? And one of the way he does that is he says, you need to be salt and light. Okay. So I use a lot of Cajun seasoning on my stuff, and it's got salt in it. Okay. I hardly ever just use a salt shaker unless it's on popcorn. But, you know, here's the deal. One of the things salt does is when it is introduced into an atmosphere, let's say you cook of French fries. There's a good one. Okay. That's our food reference for the day, other than the possum. We'll talk about the possum later. But you cook some French fries, you dump them out of the grill, and you put them there, and you taste them, and you go, yeah, those are okay. But then you, like, they need a little salt, okay? So you hit it with salt a little bit, and it changes the flavor of anything it touches. Is that true? Now, here's my question to you this morning. So we can start off with not condemnation, just conviction, because I'm convicted. I left the house convicted both times this morning. So here's the deal. When we go into a situation and we introduce ourselves into that situation, do we add flavor and grace to that situation? Or are you like my friends who they would get up from work and they had tools on their belt, and one of their tools on their belt was pepper spray. And the people would get up and go to the bathroom, and they'd spray pepper spray on their food. And see, when they came back, that's too hot.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not, and, it, and I always thought we were trying to kill each other, but that's beside the point. But the point being is this, guys, what are we doing to introduce God's love, God's grace, God's purpose, our his plan for this earth? When you show up, does it change? Okay, that's, we hadn't even got to the scripture yet, and there's point one. And the second thing is prospers his people. And here's the deal, we're gonna talk about this, but that's been one of the most perverted portions of the Bible. But on the other hand, it's like, you might say, you know, that that water is coming out of that faucet, it's got this in it, it's got that in it, got that in it. But you know, I still take a shower, okay? And what's happened is the truth is, the Bible talks about him prospering us. It's my will that as you grow spiritually, that you prosper, okay? And I'm not talking about getting rich. I'm not talking about the longer Cadillac or, you know, higher handlebars or ladder pipes or whatever. But what I am talking about is, does your plan include God, you receiving things from God? I've been talking to people this week who are suffering. And I'm just going to leave it at that, who are suffering. And I want to learn. When I'm suffering, I want to learn. If I got something to learn, I want to learn it. Because I don't want to have to learn it again, okay? Then when I suffer twice, okay? But on the other hand, guys, I know that as we focus on him, as we walk forward, something, even though circumstances may not change the way we want them to, God has a way of taking things and all things working together for and are called according to his purpose. Okay, verse 1. That's the introduction. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. There's a lot in those two verses. You see how David starts out first recognizing that his life, his purpose, it is all on the foundation of something that's not going to move. Okay? I'm a screaming patriot. Okay? But my confidence, faith is not in anything in this world. Okay? Because I know I've studied history all the way back as far as I could read. My favorite is from about 1800 to now. Okay? But as you see that, as you see over and over, this country, that country, this country. But I want to tell you something. I love this country, but my faith and confidence and peace this morning is not in this country. It is on the rock that I stand, and it's the cornerstone of why we're here, and his name is Yeshua, Jesus, the deliverer, the savior, the king of kings, the God of angel armies, holy, righteous, and wonderful. That is who I'm standing on this morning. And I'm going to tell you something, in case anybody on this side is wondering, I'm trying, it's very hard. I'm trying to be good. I really am. I know y'all get to look at, no, I'm serious. I'm picking on him, sorry. But I'm trying to be good. Is everybody, are y'all trying?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to be good. And it's not that I've said, well, you know, God loves me, I'll just do it. No, that's not it. What it is that he has called me, and I want to be successful in what he's called me to do. So what's this? Blessed is the Lord my rock. Are you standing on the rock? That's the first question. There's several questions this morning. Are you standing on the rock? And I want to tell you what, fear is a liar. While I was studying this today, that song came back to me, and it was big, I don't know, Sharice, 5 years ago maybe? 5 or 6 years ago. And there was a big controversy. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 you know. But anyway, but the point is this. Fear is a liar. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? And it's very interesting the way that's laid out. We need to know that God is God. Amen. And you ain't. Okay? And I ain't. Okay? But, and if we're not careful, we'll make a God of our desires, a God of this, a God of that. But the truth is, bottom line is that once that is, that's where we establish, that's where we, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And as we begin to follow him, then look at all the places in the Bible that he's called us to be his bride. Okay. You know, Kim ain't very scared of me. Okay. She's not very scared of me. Okay. I tell you what, you know why? Because for the last, just seems like a few months, but it's only 42, 43 years, whatever it works out. This year will be 42 years. You know, I've done by her the very best I can, and I've failed and come short of that too, right? But I've done the very best I can. And she knows that I'll continue that because I love her, and God loves you, okay? And you can stand on that. You don't have to let fear take your breath, stop you in your steps. He'll rob you of your rest. It'll steal your happiness. It'll cast your fear. I mean, all this stuff. And we're going to talk about, we'll sing some stuff later. We'll keep going. Okay. So what are you standing on? Are you standing on the rock?
Yes.
Okay. So then, that's our position. If you want words this morning to write down in your notes, first is position. We stand on secure ground, okay? But the second P is purpose, okay? And he trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And you're like, what? I want to tell you something. This is not the love boat. Okay, I wish it was. I don't like the music with the love boat. I remember that, but it's kind of loungy. Made me think of Brute and Brill Cream. Anyway, so but the point being is, wow, some words there. But here's the deal, literally, guys, this is a battleship, and we are in a war, but not against each other. Okay, I want everybody to look around this morning and say, I ain't fighting y'all.
I ain't fighting y'all.
Okay, some of y'all did, some of you didn't. Because y'all didn't do that.
I did.
Oh, did you do that? Okay, I ain't fighting. Okay, he came over. All right. So here's the deal. Because we're not, our battle is not with flesh and blood. And as far as I know, everybody in here is not a zombie. Okay? I mean, as far as I know. Okay. I was in a place one time many years ago, this shall remain unnamed, and it was with some people who will remain unnamed. And so this guy come up and talked to me for a minute, and we'd known each other for years, and he says, Bruce, I need you to talk to my boy. I go, okay, what is it? He said, he's never been to church. And when I told him about Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead, he goes, Jesus is a zombie? And he said, I need you to talk to him. I said, okay. So we were in a public place, and there were other people getting pictures drawn on their body. And there were people all around me. You could hear the bzzz of the little machines that put that on folks. It'll make those pictures indelible. But anyway, but the point being is this. I literally was able that day to start in the beginning, work all the way to the second coming of Christ, and nobody could get up and leave. They all had to hear it. If they wanted their pictures to be finished, okay, They had to stay. Like, it's like preaching in jail. It's like, well, this is better. It's better than nothing, you know. But here's the deal. Literally, guys, as I did that, I realized that I had been trained my whole life for that, because I'm going to tell you why. And I'm not saying it to be funny, okay? Because when I was in the preschool, I was sleeping under the pews in the front, just getting it by osmosis. But, I mean, in my whole life, I've been hearing the stories of and reading, and was a Sunday school teacher at 17, and, you know, all that. And God prepared me, but if I'd have said, no, I don't know, train my hands for war, because we got, our war is against powers and principalities in high places that would try to doom, damn, and destroy this earth. He hates everything that God loves. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. There's a real devil, and there's a real God. So, is God training you for something? If he is, then we need to get after it, and we need to get that training. You don't need to do like I did in high school, sit in the corner and read paperbacks, okay? You need to pay attention. Okay. He is my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Okay. Loving kindness is a very interesting word. We're not going to have time to get into a lot of it today, but here's the deal. It's more than an emotion. Does that make sense? I mean, because I can get emotional about, you know, something, or I cannot be emotional about something, but what I choose to walk in is those things that I've been called to walk in to the best of my ability. Okay. And there are some days I'm like, do you know why I went back home and got my phone? This is not a joke. It has nothing to do with, look at me. Okay. What it has to do with is there are people who depend on this every Sunday for this. And I want them to have it because God's called me to it. Okay. And here's the deal. Because it's like, I don't do it out of, oh no, what will God do if I don't do that? No. That's not what, it's because I care in my fortress. He is my high tower and my deliverer. Okay. Now, I've got some odd sayings, and I know that, okay? And I apologize sometimes, kind of. But nobody gets out of here alive unless a rapture happens, okay? And I'm going to tell you, I have prayed for people and literally begged God to heal them. And I don't mean like just ask and, well, whatever you think, God. I mean begged God to heal them. And they're with him right now. And the reason I begged God to heal them was not because of my attachment even to them. It was because of my attachment to the people who were attached to him. Does that make sense? And what they had done, what they were doing, what they had done. And here's the deal. But he is our deliverer. And we see things very darkly now. Everybody know that, right? You say, oh, I understand that. I'm going to tell you something. We see darkly. We're looking through a glass darkly. You don't see everything that's going on. You don't see it. Okay. And God knows what he's doing. God knows who he's doing it with. And he is our shield and the one whom I take refuge. And guys, this goes all the way back to Psalms 91. We've spent time on this. But I want to tell you, I'm going to repeat this because somebody needs to hear this morning. Before I get out of bed, but for sure before I leave the house, okay, I will pray and I will give that day to God, because that's for my head, okay? God's watching after me, okay? He says, we've studied in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, is that he watches over us lest we stumble against a stone, lest our foot strike a stone. But the truth is I got to have my head right. God's head's right, okay? But when I then turn my day over to him and things don't go exactly like I want, surprise, surprise, okay? Shocking revelation that I don't get everything I want. And you know, if you're an only child for over they say 6 years, and you're only child forever. Okay. And I had 8 and a half before my brother came along. I tried to kill him, but the good thing is he lived. They would probably call I don't think we ever did that in front of Mama, though. I had a Honda 125, and he would sit on the gas tank, and we'd go over little ramps, and you know, I wasn't really thinking about killing him, but I said, you know, if it happened, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Okay. So anyway, used to drag him on a blanket behind the house, slinging his head against the wall like that, against the hard. But then we started making him wear a football helmet when he did it. Anyway, seemed like he wore a football helmet sometimes on the motorcycle, too. Okay. So he's my shield and the one I take refuge. So, guys, decide every day he is your shield. Get under his feathers. Get under his wings as he spreads his wings out. I love that. And we studied the whole story about the covenant and how the prayer shawl, that is actually the edge of the shawl, and they used to actually put this over it when it says go into a secret place and pray. What they're talking about is they put a prayer shawl over, and around the edge of that were tassels. And around their garments was actually the word of God, and they were saying, you know what? Hey, I am under your covenant. And the bad things happen. Yeah. Come on. And some of it's because of some of the stupid stuff I do, but some of it's not, okay? Or some of the stuff, choices that we all make, okay? So Lord, okay, this last part of this was irritating to me last night when I studied it, and earlier this week or last week whenever I studied it. This last, when I say irritating, that means I'm hoping a pearl will come from it, okay? That doesn't mean that it makes me mad. Here's the deal. This is so hard for me to say, but I'm going to say it. The Bible says, how many of y'all just absolutely love everything the Bible says? I will never do what Thomas Jefferson did and cut parts out of the Bible that I don't like, okay? But that don't mean that there are parts of the Bible I don't like, okay? He literally says that the Bible says that he places the authority over us. He does that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of, okay, I'm old enough to remember some things that happened in Africa many years ago and some of the dictators and some of the things that happened over there. And I'm like, God, how is that scripture, and how does that line up? And a person that doesn't have faith, they look at this evidence, and they go, well, then that means the Bible's not true. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that we don't see it like he sees it. Does that make sense? Okay. So, but here's the deal. It says, who subdues my people under me? And this is, I got to go here. If you want people to be in submission to you, you have to be into submission to people over you. If you don't, it's just like this, okay? Down the street there's a gas station. There's a big tank underneath there. I'm assuming. I hope they're not just pumping in the ground. But anyway, a big truck comes there and takes a hose and takes it out of their big truck, puts it down in their tank, and then when I go there, they got a pump that pumps it into my tank. Does that make sense? Okay. If they didn't have that big truck come and unload, remember during the gas shortage, there were people backed up and using all the gas, and when the big trucks couldn't, they weren't getting there fast enough, it was empty, they couldn't sell no gas. It wasn't because you weren't good enough for gas. It wasn't because you didn't need gas. It wasn't because you didn't have money for gas. There was no gas. Okay. But I want to tell you something. There's really only one true authority. And if he puts people in authority over you and it irritates you, Merry Christmas. Okay, you're part of the club. Okay. Because if you look at Washington or Jeff City or Little Rock or wherever you happen to be listening from, or I don't know all the capitals. I didn't pay enough attention during that time. But anyway, but the point being is, guys, watch this. If you're irritated with that, I get it. And be a good citizen. Vote. Do the things you're supposed to do. You know, and I'm not telling you. But what I'm telling you is God knows what he's doing. Because I'm going to tell you, there's more people, and we're going to get into it when we get into Matthew later. There's more people calling on the name of the Lord this morning. I'm not saying they're coming to church, okay? But there's more people calling on the name of the Lord this morning because they're looking around and going, you know what? This reminds me of what my parents and my grandparents said was going to happen before Jesus comes. And guess what? They're right. And it's very interesting. But if you want people, if you want your family to be an authority, you're going to be an authority over your family, then you need to receive authority. You need to get under that. Verse 3, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you're mindful of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. The reason I want to hit on this a minute is we are in a whole new time. Okay. Anyone that has a phone, anyone that has internet, okay, a camera, whatever, they have now become an authority. Okay. And because from time to time, and some of them are a little bit ridiculous, but people will send me things and go, have you seen this? Okay. I have seen people preaching on everything from beards. By the way, we're going to start preaching on beards here. Probably not. Preaching on, people, interestingly, just about everything you can think of. And here's the deal, guys. I saw one guy preaching, and his false teeth jumps out, and he catches them before they hit the floor, and he puts them back in. That was funny. I actually enjoyed that. Okay, that actually happened in a church I was in one time, but it wasn't as noticeable as that. But he's catching them way out here. Okay, and I was in another church one time that had higher ceilings than this, and she got excited and kicked her shoe, and it went all the way up. Came all the way to the roof and hit the floor, and I said, man, that's something. You know, I bet she'd be good at horseshoes. Or if she's that good with people shoes, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Okay. What's that bag game? Cornhole? If she could put it on her foot and flip it. She's probably gone to be with the Lord now, but she probably couldn't find her. But why is he mindful? We're not all that in this guy. David right here recognizes, you know what? I'm flesh. And God isn't. My time on earth is this long. And think about this, the Alpha and the Omega. All power, all glory, all honor. And we're up there arguing with God. God, you know, you didn't do that right. You didn't do this right. Think of the audacity of that. I want to tell you, I've been guilty, but as I look at this, it convicts me, okay? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Now, you know, he's talking about what happened with Moses, the children of Israel. And I'm going to use this illustration. You may not have heard this before, okay? But there were several times it appears, okay? I can only say what it appears, okay? Because I don't know everything. I wasn't there, okay? But it appears this like, God had to get their attention. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes it cost more than other times. Okay. But at one point, God literally says, I'm going to be coming down on the mountain with Moses. And nobody touch the mountain.
That's right.
You stay back from the mountain. And then when he shows up with Moses, there's quite a light show, quite a smoke show, quite a shaking. And here's the deal. Literally, the people are like, whoa. And I want to tell you, sometimes that's what it takes us, takes to shake us out of our day-to-day. Got to be there by 8:30. I got a whole list of things to do. I got, you know, to look past our sticky notes into things that matter. And honestly, the scripture that we're going to study here in a little while in Matthew, that's what happened to me. It shook me. I'm just going to tell you, it shook me. And as we look at that, it was, don't get me wrong, nothing in the house shook or nothing like that, but I'm just saying it was, I thought, you know what? We might ought to pay attention to that. Since it's the Bible, and he's talking about those who do and those who don't. Okay. So, flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hands from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters. Do you ever feel like you're drowning? Do you ever feel like you're drowning? I'm going to tell you, this world just keeps, right? Do you ever feel like you're drowning? It's just, how am I going to do that? How am I going to get that done? How am I going to get that done? But here's the deal, guys. There's a beautiful picture of salvation in my head, and I have no idea where I saw it. It could have been, it may be art, it may be, but I mean, this is a real picture, okay? And what's happening, you remember when there's a storm and Jesus is walking out across the storm, and what happens? He says, if that's really you, can I come to you? Because, you know, I got faith, right? Is that what happened? And I'm not saying he did this, but I'm saying in my head, that's what I would be doing. Okay, so he takes a couple of steps, and what happens?
He gets to looking at the storm.
Here's Jesus, and he gets to looking at that. Is there storms all around us right now?
Yes.
Is there stuff going on? We're in this body, there's people that are dealing with grief. There's people that are dealing with physical things, financial things, social things, emotional things, rejection, I mean, all these things. But I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, we will get our eyes off of our, listen to this word, our Savior onto the situation. Mm-hmm. Let's take our eyes off the situation. That doesn't mean we don't, you know, it doesn't mean we did this, but I was in prayer and fasting many, many years ago. Many, many, many years ago. And my kids were little. I don't remember which one it was that I threw up in the trailer and I got him in the ceiling fan. It was either, I don't remember which one that was. One of them. Might have been Joel. Yeah, he was, yeah. That probably wasn't the only thing. Anyway, so, but anyway. This was about when they were that age, okay? It was about that age. And I remember one time we hadn't been anywhere in a long time, and it wasn't summertime in South Arkansas, so it wasn't hot. And I would put them on the bed of the truck with the tailgate down, and I'd walk over there and I'd say, jump to me. And I'd be right up there to them, really, really close, guys. And they'd jump in my arms. And I'd swing them around. Yeah! You know, put them back. And I'd move back a little bit. And they'd jump. And I'd catch them. And then they would, and then I'd move back a little bit more. And they would look like this, because they're looking at the distance between me and them. And they're like, move up or something, whatever they said, you know, closer or something. Well, I want to tell you that God loves you way more than you even understand. And so I will, as I was praying and crying out to God, he said, I want you to have the faith that you'll jump no matter where I tell you to jump from. And I said, God, what if I can't see? What if I can't? Because I'm seeing that picture. And he says, it's not about what you see. It's about who I am.
Amen.
And I will never leave you or forsake you. Even in the life to come, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. And see, I wouldn't have, well, I started to say for $1 million, but I might. Mm-hmm. But for, you know, I would not ever want my kids to jump me and not catch me. That's, I can say that. And I started to say for $1 million. I said, well, for $1 million, I'd probably say jump around the corner. But anyway, because, you know, it's all about me. Okay, so, but God loves you. And he is our salvation. And he is rescues us from the hand of the foreigners, whose mouth speaks vain words, and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. And then I'm going to close real quick. Verse 9, and we'll pick up on 10 or maybe start back at 9 next week. I will sing. That's a choice. I will sing a new song to you, O God. That's a choice. That it doesn't say, oh, I feel so good. Everything's going so great. Yay, we're going to have a pep rally. Okay. We're winning. Yay. Okay. That's not what he says. He says, I will sing. And I want to tell you something, guys. There's been times that I didn't feel it. I felt like moaning. And I don't mean like, hey, it's hey, good moaning. I don't mean that. I mean, I felt like, moaning. But instead, I chose, and I'm not talking about putting on a show, because the battle is won in your house. The battle is won in your prayer room. The battle is won in your car. The battle is won, that's where it starts. Okay, and then the fruit of that comes out, and I've said, I'm gonna praise you, Lord. I'm gonna praise you right here. I don't feel like it. I can't think of three things that I'm happy about, but I'm gonna praise you now because you are worthy to be praised. Amen. On your worst day, he is worthy. So I'm gonna tell you that there is power in praise. Okay, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna quit right there. But some of you need to hear that. Begin to thank him for who he is. And here's the deal. I don't ever say, Lord, I thank you that my light bill is twice what it was last month. Praise the Lord. No. It doesn't say for everything, praise him. It says in everything, praise him. What I do is say, Lord, thank you that I can pay my light bill. I'm irritated, but thank you that it's paid. Thank you. You see, in everything, because he's provided. Or just the fact that, you know what, God, thank you for who you are. Father, thank you for who you are. And Lord, speak to us today, Lord. Let this be a day we set aside, Lord, and learn and become the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. We'll be back in about 45 minutes.